I'm not going to read a text this morning. Let me just share with you how I'm approaching today. A few days ago, I started praying about what to minister, and the Lord spoke three thoughts to my spirit. And so this is not a message that I've preached before. Pieces of it, obviously, I have. But let me just give you my title. This is not a well put together this. This is just what I feel that the Spirit is saying for this church today. And it's this: Moss Bluff needs a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, multi-generational church. Moss Bluff needs, I felt it strong in the spirit that I was supposed to come and talk about. Moss Bluff needs a spirit-filled, spirit-led, multi-generational church. Let me say before I say another word, we have not had one conversation. All we've had is texting. It starts at 10. And so I'm telling you, I believe God sent me here with a message for this church this morning. I believe it. I believe it. Would you just close your eyes and lift your hands to heaven and ask God to give us a personal revelation? Lord Jesus, how we need you. Lord, we feel a witness of your spirit right now, and we know that this has been an ordained weekend. And God, I pray these people have given out. Many of them are tired. There's been VBS and weddings and different things. But I pray now that you will just refresh our spirits and let us focus on what your spirit is saying, and let it be done in Jesus' name. And can the church say amen? And can you give him another hand clap of praise? Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. And it's good to see the Wootons back there. Friends from Alexandria. 4th of July weekend. The truth is we need another revolution. We do. We need a spirit revolution in our lives. And we need a spirit revolution that affects us individually. And it affects our families and affects our churches. Let's talk first about being spirit-filled. I'll turn your attention to Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry until. He did not say, now look, if you'll just do a 3-day media fast, or if you'll just do a 7-day Daniel fast, or if you'll just pray 1 hour, if you'll just sacrifice for 1 hour, if you can do that, then I will endue you with power. That's not what he said. He said, tarry until you be endued. Now, when you speak of being endued, this means to sink into. It speaks of clothing. It speaks of putting on, arraying oneself. You go tarry until you are clothed with the Spirit, until the Spirit is put on you. If you want to stay with this thought just a moment, we could go to Romans 13 and 14 where it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The reason why people are not walking in dominion and not walking in authority while they consistently speak in tongues in a Pentecostal church is because we are not putting on Jesus Christ and making no provision for the flesh. Ephesians 6 and 11, of course, says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is just the realm that we're speaking of. You know, I had a thought early this morning. It was like when we were kids, we used to put on our parents' clothes and play dress up. Did you ever do that? It's kind of funny. Now when little kids do it, you get out your phones and start taking pictures because it's this little bitty girl, you know, walking around in high heel shoes and all of that kind of thing. And unfortunately, many apostolics are doing the very same thing. Is we are seeking to appear, to be arrayed in Christ. Luke 24 and 49, again, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when we're talking about tarry until, this flies right in the face of this frantic, paced world that we live in. It's invaded us. The pace of today has invaded us. Because we don't tarry until we tarry. Well, for instance, I had to lean over to him and say, what time do you usually get out of church? Now, you're in bad shape today because I know that it's not even supposed to be started yet around here. So I mean, if it usually started at 11 and you would go till 2, then we've got, don't get nervous. I'm not going to mess up your hot dog plans and your grilling plans, but that has invaded the church. That has invaded the church. Some things I say today, I may have said last year because I just started preaching and got to page 2 last year and took off and never looked back. So I don't even know what I said, but this is what I do know about pastoring. All of the years that I pastored wonderful people that prayed for ball games to go into overtime, but bless God, we better be landing it at 5 minutes till 12 so they could be leaving at 12. And in this hunting world that we live in, think nothing of 3 o'clock on a deer stand in the morning. Think nothing of freezing weather and all that, but walk into the house of God like this. And in the middle of all of that, it says, tarry until you are endued with power. And then we wonder why we have no power. What happens is that we are trying to do without being endued. And when we seek to do and we're not endued, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But we don't have to be in trouble. You know, there is none of us, I think, if you had your right mind, I don't believe that any of you would go rig up blue lights on your car and to where they would flash and you could just flip on and now you've got blue lights flashing and you just start pulling people over. You wouldn't do that. That's not smart. You know, some of you may be adventurous to my left here, but that's not a good idea at all. Because you don't have the power that backs that up. You've got to have power to back up. And so if we seek to operate on the outside on a level not backed up with power on the inside, we're headed for trouble. This is what we have to understand about an apostolic, spirit-filled church. When you start saying you are an apostolic, spirit-empowered church, everything changes. It all changes. And we see the 7 sons of Sceva. They had an issue one day, and it was Acts 19, 13 through 16 talks about this. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits This is supposed to be a church where people can be set free from evil spirits. We're not going to get in 2017 and then think that, you know, no, we don't cast out devils anymore. Yes, we cast out devils. Now, I don't know. We may have some guests here and come back and just, you know, don't turn this church off in your mind because of the man that's ministering here today. I am a guest minister. I am not the pastor. But this has got to be a place that it's almost like a sign that says, devil-possessed people, welcome here. Where else are they going to be set free? Where else? Then certain of the vagabond Jews, Exodus, they took upon them to call over which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, listen to this, we adjure you by Jesus who Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one, Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? When that spirit came in, and it was, and someone invoked the name of Jesus connecting with that spirit immediately knew there's no authority in you to cast me out. And so it's Jesus I know. Jesus comes around, we're gone. Paul I know. If Paul would show up, we'd be gone. But hold it. Who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And the seven sons of the priest soon discovered that attempting to evoke the authority of the name of Jesus without his spirit will lead to disastrous and embarrassing results. And the enemy seeks to pull us into realms of engagement that we have not spiritually prepared ourselves for continually. The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And there are a lot of apostolics that know how to yell the name of Jesus. And they're wondering why the Spirit's not fleeing. Because the Spirit can stand on the Word of God. That the Spirit does not have to flee. Just because somebody is speaking the name of Jesus, the power comes in being submitted to God. And so as we submit ourselves to God, and then we resist the devil, he has to flee. But he does not have to flee just because we yell the name of Jesus. The power is in the name, but the power is coupled with a submitted life connected to the name. No spirit feeling, no spirit power. And Ephesians 5, 17 and 18 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. We must be Spirit-filled. We never get old enough to not be Spirit-filled. We've got to be Spirit-filled. Last year at this time, I tried to preach a message based on 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit, and I started preaching it, and then like I said a while ago, I never got to the whole message. But let me just revisit that just a moment with this statement. If the Bible says quench not the Spirit, then obviously we have the power to quench it. Let's not miss the obvious. You say, well, how in the world can I hold the Spirit back? We can hold the Spirit back in our own lives. We can quench the Spirit. And the Bible is saying, don't quench the Spirit. We must be Spirit-filled. 1 Corinthians 14:39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Please don't become an apostolic church that becomes embarrassed about tongue talking. Don't get embarrassed about tongue talking. Love people and respect people, but if anybody tells you that tongues are not for today, they are not in step with what the Word of God is clearly saying. And I am not throwing off on other religions. I do not throw off on other religions. I love your announcement that you're getting ready to get into some study of the Word of God, because apostolic people had better get into the Word of God. We're living in days right now, you better be in the Word of God. You better be in the Word of God. I wish that our churches would become so in love with the Word of God that we could come into churches and the pastor could just walk up and could just open the Bible and just start reading and every now and then look up and you're into it. And then I wish that we would have a love for the Word of God that would go beyond the love for our personal preferences of what should happen in a church service. I pray to God that there will someday be a revival of the Word of God, that's all it would take. If somebody is going to be standing in the pulpit reading the Bible, that's all we need. That's it. That's all we need. We don't need anything else. Just give us somebody that will just come and open up the Word of God, and we can get out of all of these other things that we're trying to figure out how to do to move a church, to get people happy, to get people enjoying the house of God, to get people to like this. Well, let's try this. Well, let's try that. Oh, that the church would be so hungry for the Word of God that would be all it would take. That would be all it would take. Just assign somebody to read the Bible. And we'll come and we'll have our Bibles, and we wouldn't even dream of a day to where we didn't spend time in the Word of God. We've got to get to where we would not dream of a day in our life without reading the Word of God. We wouldn't dream of a day of not meditating in the Word of God. That's where it better get. That's what the Spirit will do. I'll tell you why people are not in the Word of God. They have received the Holy Ghost at one time, but they're not Spirit-filled. You cannot be Spirit-filled and go one day and your heart not be longing for the Word of God. I know that's hard. I know that's strong. Don't blame him. Blame the visiting minister or whoever I am. But you are not Spirit-filled if there is not a desire in you every day to get in to the Word of God. We've got to be. We might not have time to eat, but we wouldn't think of not being in the Word of God. We might not have time to check the news, but we wouldn't think about not being in the Word of God. We might not have time for social media, but we wouldn't even think about not being in the Word of God, because Spirit-filled people are drawn to the Word of God. Be leery of anyone that would limit the Word of God or talk down what it clearly says to do. An apostolic prerequisite for use in the church was being filled with the Spirit. Acts 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It wasn't look ye out among you who gives the most money in the church. It wasn't look ye out among you who's got the big names in the church. It wasn't look ye out among you who you better make them happy or your day will be a bad day. No, it was look ye out among you seven men that have an honest report and full of the Holy Ghost and they're full of wisdom, and that's who you put over the business. And so there needs to be such a desire for us to be full of the Holy Ghost. And the main issue with people is the fact that they're not full of the Spirit. They're not. I can't tell you how many times, Pastor Pugh, that I wished that the Lord would give me the ability to look at somebody's forehead and there would be one of those distance to empty in my car right now. I know how many miles I can go before I have to refuel. I wish the Spirit would let me see that on people's foreheads, their distance to empty as it relates to the Spirit. So I would know, hey, I'm dealing with somebody here that, man, they're empty. Because there's some people that they look like they're full and they're empty. And it's dangerous when you're dealing with people that you're thinking they're full of the Spirit and they're empty of the Spirit. But what we have to do is we must be full of the Spirit. Moss Bluff, this church, needs to be a church full of people that are full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Much confusion reigns in individual lives and families and churches when we're not full of the Holy Ghost. We got to be full of the Holy Ghost. It'd be something if it was just, if there was a culture that was created in this church, a culture. Values create culture. And if there was a culture that could be created in this church that if you've been born again, and if you've been in the church for a while, that you wouldn't even think about calling for, he didn't say nothing to me, church, believe it. Just, you know, this may be my last shot in this pulpit, and I'm not trying to overstep anything, but God's given me some revelation about what our churches need. God has been speaking to me about what our churches need, and if people would take their problems to God before they take their problems to their pastor. And if people would pray and fast before they ever called 1-800-PASTOR. And if people would stand up in their own homes and say, we got issues, and so what we're going to do is we're going to call a family prayer meeting before they called the pastor. We're going to have a family fast day before we call the pastor. Because the reason why a lot of churches can't move forward is pastors can't spend the time with God and with a clear mind to get a clear word, because people are distracting them, because people are not full of the Holy Ghost. We've got to be Spirit-filled. Are you saying, do you never call your pastor? Absolutely not. It says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, and there's all of that. But I finally realized, way too late, I realized it just my last 2 years of pastoring. I finally realized if I was not connected to God every day through prayer and the Word, I could not lead. And then I realized if people who had been born again were not connected to God every day through prayer and the Word, I could not help them except to help them reconnect with God. Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. And then Spirit-led. You see, it's one thing to have good church on Sunday, but it's another thing to be the church Monday through Saturday. We had good church, man, boy, Sunday. Whoo, my God, hallelujah. We had good, and we need good church. And I thank God for what was obviously presented today and practice that went into it. Wonderful singers. We have good church, but we're not going to walk in power and authority by just having good church on Sunday. No. We've got to be the church Sunday afternoon through Saturday night. Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And it's speaking of witnesses there. You can study it out, and you're going to find a word you're not going to like, because it deals with being a martyr. A martyr. All in. Not just around. You see, there's a major difference in being around church and in church. There is a major difference in being around Christ and in Christ. There is a major difference in being around the Word and in the Word. Acts 3 and 7, when we're looking at this Spirit-led business, Peter and John going to pray in Acts 3 and 7, and he took him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. It was that same public demonstration then that commanded attention then that it's going to take now. If we're ever going to see the level of revival, which revival is reviving the saints, and harvest, which is bringing in the lost. If we're ever going to see the level of revival and harvest that God intends for His church to have, what happens in private must go public. It must go public. I'm not speaking of you know, making a fool out of yourself in restaurants or schools or on your jobs. I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about this. When you are walking at school, you've got to realize you are the answer. And when you are at work, you've got to realize that you are the answer. And you seniors that might not be going to a job, wherever you go and whoever you connect with, you've got to realize you are the answer. And I am thankful for big days and things where we bring people into the church and we invite people to church and we have special things. But we're not going to experience the level of dominion and authority as long as we are thinking that when we've invited somebody to church that it's over. It's not about inviting people to church, which that's good. It's about inviting people to Jesus. It's about having conversations with people and what you're wanting. You're wanting them to connect with Jesus. You're wanting them so badly to connect with Jesus, to talk to Jesus. That's more important than you getting them to come to your church. I think if we would do this, our churches would be full, and we may be going to multiple services if we would get it right, that it's more important for somebody, for us to connect somebody to Jesus, than it is for us to connect them to our church. One of the first principles in the Word of God. You don't go far in the Word of God before you see it was dark. The earth, it was dark. Void and darkness was moving everywhere. And the Spirit of the Lord moved. And so we see there a principle of the Word of God is this. Spirit precedes revelation. There has to be the moving of the Spirit. That's the reason why whenever I hear other denominations experiencing the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost being poured out in other denominations, I'm not sitting back saying, well, that's not the real Holy Ghost. Well, I'll tell you what. No, I'm saying, let it be, God. Let it fall. Let it fall. Let it fall wherever. Well, but they're not doing this right. And there's more revelation. Hey, apostolics, there's more revelation for us to gain in our own lives. And that's the reason why when we drive by other churches, we don't need to see them as the enemy. We need to look at other churches and say, God, just as you're leading us in greater revelation, I pray you'll lead them in greater revelation. Would you pour out your spirit on us all? For spirit precedes revelation. Spirit precedes it. To be spirit-led. Spirit-led. Acts 13:2, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Pastor Pugh, I would just give you an idea, and you can do it or not do it, but wouldn't it be something if I'm talking about the people that are born again. Now, you know, you're new people and new worshipers and that kind of, that's another thing. But these veterans, these young people that's been here, when they come and ask you an opinion, wouldn't it be something if you'd look and say, well, have you fasted about this? Have you fasted about this? I'm not trying to say that, you know, you fast this many days and then God owes you. I'm not getting into all that. I'm just seeing what they did in the Bible. Why don't we start looking at what's obvious in the Bible, and why don't we disconnect our brains for a while from trying to, well, I wonder if this connects with this. Well, I wonder if this pulls with this, then man, that's deep. Boy, that's deep. Well, why don't we just take the obvious? They needed something. They needed a decision, and they ministered unto the Lord, and they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, position yourself for it, and you'll be amazed at what God will say. Galatians 3:3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Are you so foolish? This is a spirit thing. And it was begun in the spirit. Do you think you're going to be matured? You're going to grow up? You're going to be completed? By something in the flesh? Foolish. So the spirit work cannot be completed or matured in the flesh. And seeking to achieve by the flesh what can only be achieved by the spirit is futile. It's frustrating. We've got to be spirit-led. 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 Led by the Spirit. You find young people, if you could learn this now. All this worrying about what direction am I going to take? What's my future going to be like? Who am I going to end up with? What, just all of those things that the enemy preys, P-R-E-Y, it's not P-R-A-Y, preys on the minds of the young to convince you that it's beyond you. When the truth of the matter is if we will obviously pursue God. That's it. We obviously pursue God. I tell the hyphen age all the time that's getting all worried about who they're going to marry, whatever. I say, pursue God with everything you've got. Periodically look beside you. God will land the one there in the right time. It's our pursuits that protect. Our pursuits protect us. And the reason why people get so messed up in their life is their pursuits. Because when you're pursuing God and you're pursuing to be spirit-led in a way that's obvious, you're not being obnoxious, you're not being rude, you're not being in everybody's face, you're just clearly seeking after God. And it's obvious to everybody that your pursuit is not private. Your pursuit is public. I'm after God. I'm going to be at church. I'm going to be in prayer meetings. I'm going to be involved in the kingdom of God because I like what that leads to. It's our pursuits that will protect us. And when we pursue God, if you'll pursue God, you're in good shape. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have heartbreak. Yes, it's called life. But you will not end up with your life wrecked if you pursue God. And it's clear. And she might be pretty, but she's not pursuing God enough for me. Man, that guy looks fine, but we got a problem. He's not pursuing God enough for me. His pursuit is not obvious. Her pursuit is not obvious. Next. You say, oh, that's just the way it is. That is a fact. You pursue God and you don't get tied up with people who aren't. You love them and you pray for them, but no, I am a God pursuer. Therefore, I do not connect myself relationally to anybody who is not. Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. You can be full of the Spirit and you can be led by the Spirit. It can be. Let's not complicate this. The enemy is convincing us that we cannot be filled with the Spirit and we cannot be led by the Spirit, and that is a lie. God says it can be. It was one of the most frustrating things about pastoring is I would see good people, quality people, people that love God, people that love their family, but they just couldn't make the commitment to be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And you just see them. And you try to help. Circles. It's kind of like one person I finally told him one time, it was all and back, it was the same thing. It was over, over, over. And I said, look, the only thing about banging your head against the wall is it only feels better when you quit. Was talking to a young couple one time, and we were talking about their life and where it was, and I was being nice. I was being as nice as I could be, and I was spending a lot of time. But finally, I just looked at him, and I said, well, what else did you expect? The house of God is not a priority. God's economy is not a priority. Prayer is not a priority. It doesn't matter that you were raised in this. What else did you expect? Your life is a wreck, and it should be. It's the mercy of God that has your life a wreck, because it's the mercy of God that's not letting everything go right in your life, because God is trying to get your attention, that you will turn your attention back to Him. What else did you expect? Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And now, the last thing we'll talk about today, and then I believe that God's going to, I really believe God's going to do a work here today. As a matter of fact, I know He is. I know He is. But let's talk about this multi-generational business. I look around this building today, and it could be a little more multicultural. That's a key word for all of us, for the whole church. But there is a word that I feel the Spirit is leading me to talk about to anybody that will listen. And I think this is even bigger than the multicultural situation. It's multi-generational. Multi-generational. You look in the Bible and you see Josiah. And you see the age that God used him and Samuel. And we heard these stories, you know, growing up about Samuel, you know, Samuel, yes, and Eli, is it you? No, it's not me. And go back to bed and hears it again. And comes back, Eli, was, you know, surely it was you. You know, no, it's not. Then finally, Eli realizes God's speaking. But at a very young age, Samuel and Joseph and David and Mary and the disciples wasn't that old. I mean, we act like that, you know, the disciples were, you know, surely they had to be in their 50s or 60s. But that's not the case at all. And if the church is to be a force in this world today, then we've got to get all ages, age appropriately equipped and involved in the kingdom of God. All ages should spiritually thrive until death in the kingdom of God. Retirement and teenager are not biblical terms. They're not. They're Western society terms. And so you got this retirement mentality thing that's wreaking havoc with the church, and you got this teenager thing that's wreaking havoc with the church. Let me explain. Kind of, the enemy wants the church in their mind to think teenagers. Teenagers. Love you. You got a lot of energy. But there's, you know, teenage years, those are just the years you go crazy. You just go crazy. You're just kind of half nuts and you do dumb things, and we, if we're not careful in the kingdom of God, we will buy into that lie, because the enemy wants us to buy into that lie, because when we buy into that lie, then we back off and we don't expect enough, and then they have issues in their life, and the enemy wants to cause so much emotional damage in their life in their teenage years that will take them years to move away from and get out of. And that's how the enemy is crippling the beginning leadership levels of the church. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to be a jerk inside your home. You don't have to flip your family upside down. You don't have to roll your eyes and breathe hard. You don't have to do it. You can actually make a major mark inside your house. God can actually be speaking some things to you right now and put some things into you that when you walk on the school campus, not trying to make a freak out of you, you don't have to be a freak. You can be known as that person. You know what? They don't act like us, and they don't dress like us, and they don't go where we go. But if you got a problem, that's who you go to. That's what it can be. That's what the kingdom of God is intended to be. So you got the enemy working on this teenage side. Then you got the enemy working on this retirement side. And I'm not trying to be offensive. I love elders. I was raised by a father that honored elders. He died when he was 42 years old. But what he put in us when we got home from church periodically, here were the questions my dad would ask us. What kids did you talk to, and what elders did you talk to? Those were the questions I got. And then he said things like this: you better be nice to kids, or they'll grow up hating you all of their life. And you better be nice to elders, because they'll die and you'll never get a chance to fix it. Elders. Honoring elders. But here we are. The enemy now is coming into the church and pulling in this Western society of retirement and landing it right in the church, to where when you get so old, however so old is, it's just, I've paid my dues. I've paid my dues. I've paid my dues. trick of the devil. What we do is we pay our kingdom dues until we die. And then whoever stands in this pulpit over our body can talk about the dues we paid. We've got elders that are powerful in the spirit. We've got elders that they've seen it come and they've seen it go. And they've got 30 years in the church, 40 years in the church, 50 years in the church, 60 years. It's not retirement. It's repositioning. It's not retirement in the kingdom of God. Go ahead and talk about retirement from your company. It's repositioning in the kingdom of God. And we're taking, the kingdom of God is taking a beating on one end with the teenagers and the other end with seniors because we're convinced of the wrong things. And we've got elders sitting in this building right now that the enemy's probably told you and told you and told you your best days are over. Your kingdom days are over. And you just kind of need to just settle down. Just kind of coast. Just smile a little bit every now and then. That is a lie from the devil. I'm not trying to just fire you up. I am tired of the lie of the enemy shutting down two major segments of the kingdom of God. They have to be turned loose. This is a multi-generational church. It's got to be a multi-generational church. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So which one of those generations do you think we can just ignore? So which one of the, where does it say in the Word of God? But now, when you get to the Abraham stage, then you're over. No, I think that Abraham was powerful until the day he died. I think Samuel was powerful until the day he died. I think Hannah was powerful in the kingdom until the day that she died. The church better wake up. The elders better come alive. It's not retirement. It's repositioning. We had a prayer coordinator at POA, Kay Owens, and we ended up, we were talking one time, and she came with me, and she said, "Hey, I've got this idea." I said, "What is it?" She said, "We can take our prayer needs, and we can photocopy them, and we can drop them off to all of our shut-ins." And I said, "Well, that's a wonderful idea." And she looked back at me, she said, "It sure is. These people have clout with God. These people have been, God, I mean, when some of the elders start praying, you've been praying for years and years and years. What are we going to do with that clout? Shut it down?" When the truth of the matter is, it's spirit precedes revelation. We need as much physical energy as you have, but the enemy is convincing you that your worth in the kingdom of God is tied to your physical ability when you've got more power in your prayer and in your faith and what you can speak into the spirit realm. And we've got to have it. We've got to have all generations. I know that from 0 to 19, there was biblically, we can see a segment of age 0 to 19. Because when they became 20, that was when they could go to war. Right? So we see that. Matter of fact, whenever God finally just got fed up with their murmuring and complaining, and the generation was going to die in the wilderness, it was a good day to be 19 or under. Because once you turned 20, you were in a whole different realm. I know that was Old Testament, But there's something to that. Then you had to be 30 before you could go into priesthood. Then at 50, the priesthood changed. But it was not like 0 to 19, you're nothing. 50 and over, you're nothing. It was not retirement. It was repositioning. Those priests did not quit ministering. They ministered differently. We must have a revelation of this, because we've got to be a multi-generational church. We've got to be. We've got to be. We have got to be a church that, and I'm hurrying, we have got to be a church that every stage of life is valued. And we've got to have it where the elders will talk to young people and truly be concerned about the challenges of the ages that of what they are dealing with. Not with the attitude of, ah, that ain't no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. We've got to have younger people that will talk to elders and be concerned about the stages and the challenges of their life, because life is one big transition. We've got young people concerned about things right now. We've got college age, serious concerns in their life. Teenagers with serious concerns. Young marrieds with serious concerns. Middle-aged people with serious concerns. People in their 50s like me with serious concerns. And 60s and 70s. There's not a time, there's not a place that we get in our life that we do not have serious challenges and concerns. And the kingdom of God is a place that people should thrive until they die. Thrive until they die. We need those babies. We need those babies. We need. She's holding a little baby, patting it right now. We need those little babies. We need those little children that's sitting by that little baby. We need that. We need the ones growing. We need. This is the kingdom of God. This is not a certain demographic that we pull out and say, well, you're no longer useful or you're just in the way. That is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about a force that comes together. The kingdom of God is about some of these teenagers periodically going by an elder and saying, hey, is there anything that I can do to help you? The kingdom of God is about the elders not going to the door immediately, but spending a little time in the aisleways and going to a young married man when the Spirit points them out to you, and not getting in their business, but just going to them and saying, look, the Spirit of God spoke to me. I don't know what you're going through, and I'm not getting in your business, but look at me. I'm a few years down the road. It looks crazy at times, and trying to raise a family, I can't imagine what it's like today, but the same God that pulled me through is going to pull you through. Now let me speak a word of encouragement and a word of faith into your life. I hadn't planned on saying this, but we're sure going to have churches that can finally, apostolic churches that can finally quit getting divided on the lower levels of, it's too hot in here, it's too cold in here, it's too loud in here, I don't like the style of music. That is a trick of the devil to come in any way that he can. Any way that he can. I looked up here during the worship team today. I loved what I saw. I saw a couple over here that I don't know how old they are, 19, 20, whatever, in the red. How old are you? You're 19, okay? And then this guy right here, how old are you? 16. 16? You're 16? And you got to hold a microphone and like, really? Okay? And then you got Sister Melanie Pugh here that's about 13. And then you've got Brother Tim Baggett, my friend. He's 30-ish. And you've got all of these different ages. And I looked up there and I said, that's what the church is supposed to look like right there. That's what it's supposed to be. If in the Word of God it was 0 to 19, and then you had like a 20 to 30, and then you had a 30 to 50, and then you have a 50 on, that's what the church is supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be everywhere on this campus. This needs to be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, multi-generational church. It's what it's supposed to be. And that's what it can be. So as we stand together right now, would you just kind of flow with me here a minute? If you're 0 to 19, now I know that some of the little bitty children, no pressure here. Those of you coming to music, that's fine. But like if you're 0 to 19... why don't you come on this side? See, 0 to 19. Won't you just fill in right here? If you're 20 to 49, why don't you come on this side right here? And 50 and above, stay in the pews, but kind of move closer if you don't mind. Pastor Pugh, I had never done something like this. So I mean. But here, just come right on in, 20 to 49, right in here. Now, if any of you are, you know, getting a little nervous because now you're kind of having to show your age, I'm sorry. There it is. Now we're hoping to live in such a way that they will be excited also. That is the deal. Okay, can you move closer to the front right here, please? 0 to 19, right in here, good deal. And so now we've got this, okay. All right. So we got 20 to 49 right here, right? Okay. 0 to 19, would you please look differently at this group? Now, some of this group right here is probably some of your parents or whatever, But this is a very important group. You, especially if you have children over here, you know how important that group is. What the enemy wants to do is cause this kind of a division. And get you move that way. And then cause this kind of a division. And then take the elders and shove them back. That's what the enemy wants to do. Now, what God wants to see happen for it to be the kind of church that he wants it to be, now, why don't you just mix in everywhere? Just come on, elders, just mix in. Come on, some of you that way, or just bring it in. Come on, elders. Walk in here. I mean, do fruit basket turnover right there. Mix it up. See if you can get by somebody that's years younger, years older. Just mix it all in real good. Come close to the front, please. Now we're looking like the church. Now we're looking like the church. Hear this reading. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We've heard this a lot. I've preached about that a lot. Then it says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. I had never realized this until not long ago. And then at the end of that, it says this, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There. Where was there? Unity. Unity. Unity is where we have blessing. Unity is where we have life. And I can tell you this, that in that war of independence that we're celebrating now, everybody was involved in some way. Everybody. Because it meant their future. I mean, whatever a little kid could do, you can believe the little kid was doing. Whatever Papa and Mama could do, you can believe they were doing it. Whatever the warrior, and our nation became independent. Why? Because of that unity of purpose and all. For there is blessing and life. This church must be a place of blessing and life. Blessing and life. And it can be. If we can be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and a multi-generational church where everybody matters, everybody thrives until they die. We reposition, but we do not retire. Now, I would like for you to just take your hand, and maybe if you're a young person, and you may not even be close to them, but it doesn't even matter right now. But if you're a young person, try to join hands with an older person. And an older person, if somebody reaches over to get your hand, don't get offended and say, I'm not old. Just kind of just let it flow, however. Just kind of connect. Just kind of connect. We're going to say a prayer. And I know this is different for a Sunday morning, but I feel like this is what God has said. And we're going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to turn this over to your pastor for him to say whatever he feels to say. But I know that the Spirit of God was speaking this to this church today. Yeah. So as you're connected with somebody right now, pray a blessing on them. Just pray a blessing on them right now. Lord Jesus, you know everything. You know everything about everybody. And you know, God, what you have in mind for this church in 2017. And God, it matters not what has happened in this church from yesterday back. It matters today and forward. And I'm believing that this church is going to move forward. People that are seeking to be filled with your Spirit. People that are feeling to be led by your Spirit. And God, people that understand everybody matters and every age matters. Let the power of the Holy Ghost do the work. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let it be done in Jesus' name.